The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
To keep you away from church. And there are many ways he's going to do that. That is not my message, but I'm just going to flow this way. There are many ways he will do that. Many ways. If he doesn't distract you by whatever, he can even get you angry with people in church. You think what he wants to do is to make you angry. He wants to take you away. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. And give you genuine reasons to be away. Hallelujah. You know, something I've always been doing for people. Sometimes when people, I notice people are not serious, and maybe they're complaining, oh, this church, I don't like church. Sometimes I tell them, okay, you go. Go, make sure you go to somewhere else. Where you'll be committed. If you say, well, I'm not a good pastor, I'm not doing well. Or you'll go to somewhere else and stay committed. You realize, even after they go, they will not be committed anywhere. So the problem was not actually the church. It was an attack of the devil on their lives. I get to the point. I've done it for many people. You say, okay, fine, go. Locate somewhere else. Stay committed. You say we are not doing well. We have problem. Our head used to touch. Okay, fine. Locate a church that their head don't used to touch. So you find that the person goes, he cannot still stay committed there. There's an attack on the devil on his life. He has not seen it. I follow him in church. You must know. And that's why if you're a minister here, if you're a pastor here, you must teach your people commitment. Fight for commitment. That is what Satan is fighting against. Fight for commitment. Contend for commitment. Don't seek to have useless members. People that will just come in and go, fight for commitment. And when your pastor is insisting on commitment, he's insisting on the right thing. That is how you'll be blessed. That's how you'll grow. Don't seek to breeze in and out of church. When I started pastoring newly, you know, I'm a pastor, I have a very kind heart. And so because of that kind heart I have, you know, I see people do things and I be like, wow, they're trying. You know, and sometimes the Holy Ghost said to me, and sometimes I try to stop them. Maybe somebody may, I'll talk about maybe somebody comes from, travels to church. You know, there are people in this church, they travel to church. Some spend over 2,500 naira to be in church on a Sunday morning. And I am telling you the truth. In many centers. You get it? When I was in Lagos and they were talking to me about the places they travel to church from. And in Enugu here, many centers. When I said pastoring newly, sometimes I'll tell them, okay, it's fine. Just on Thursday, you can follow online. Then the Holy Ghost said to me, you are robbing these people. And he asked me a question that day. When you were growing as a Christian, were you following online? I was trekking distances. And he told me, don't allow what you call care or compassion to make you rob people of what will help them grow. Are you following me, church? If you know Nsukka very well, there is a place, I will say that St. Cyprian's then, there's a place in Nsukka, a village called Isiakpo. You know Isiakpo village? I used to trek. There was a church there. They did a program for like 3 days. I trekked from St. Cyprian's to Isiakpo every day. I trek and I come back every night, every day, for like throughout the weekend. In fact, by Sunday morning, I had to preach in my own local church because then God was giving us more relevance then. I had to leave that Isiakpo village around 4 a.m. in the morning and trekked back alone to be able to meet up with 7 o'clock service. And that was it. And nobody complained. I didn't complain. I said, as a prince, there was an Anglican church called St. Paul's. They had a meeting there for 1 week. I can't forget that meeting. I was checking. It was one of those nights I was coming back around 1 in the midnight that I encountered robbers. And the Lord said to me, and this was what some parents do. When parents feel that they are now rich, they want to make life soft for their children. It's a very good thing. But make sure you don't make it too soft and you deny them the training that you got. That's why you finish making it soft for them. You hand over your company to them. They run it down. They don't have that capacity you've built. Are you following me? So the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. If they're going to come from Abuja or from Accra to church, let them be coming every Sunday and every Thursday and every Saturday. Amen. Because you're not doing me good by coming to church. You're doing yourself good. So why will I stop you from getting blessed? Even when it has to do with giving, God has to correct me on that. I'm a very compassionate pastor. Sometimes I see people, you know, sometimes you see people, they don't have. You're a pastor, you know, you're in their life. You know the amount in their account. And when it's time to make commitment for a program, the natural tendency is for me to overlook them and say, okay, don't worry, don't give. But I will still say, give. Make your commitment. The Holy Ghost had to stop me. He said, stop pampering people. Let them do the commitment. Let them look for the money. There are people here that I help through school and all that, and even help them with pocket money. The amazing thing is I give them money and I ask them to sow into my life as their pastor. Do you understand? And that's to tell you that it's not about the money you are giving to me. It's about something you have to learn and cultivate. So I'll give them money. Say, how much do you need? Said, I have $5,000. Have you given to your pastor from the money you got? Said, I don't have any money, but I just gave you money. He said, sir, from me, say, yes, give to your pastor. Sometimes when we over pamper people because we love them and we care about them, they miss out. Imagine you're a student and your teacher loves you so much. He said, because I love them, I will not give them hard assignments, I'll not give them hard tests, I'll not even, they should not stay in class for long. When they come, I'll just teach them for life. Yeah, I guess I'm stressed. Well, chemistry, whoa, just go home. I'll pass all of you. At the end of the day, and we don't know what we're doing to ourselves when we have that kind of school. Whatever goes around, comes around. You finish raising the person finally becomes a doctor. Your child will go to his hospital. And you will treat the child well. With what he knows. The weakness we are raising in church today, that the ones that will pastor our children tomorrow. Are you following what I'm saying? If you raise weak people today, that the ones that will mentor your kids tomorrow. Because when I'm in my 50s and my 60s, I'll still have time, but then there will be so many people. Sometimes the mentorship of our kids are in the hands of some of you now. And that is the truth. So I won't play with that. So you're either serious or you're serious. Are you getting the point? You're either serious or... Sometimes people come here to work. I used to share this story. When we got this, so that was sometime last year. Some of our people, they had to abandon their work. And they came and they slept in this hall for 1 week every night. Every night I come here to see them, I pity them. I feel like telling them, go home. You will lose your contracts. You will lose your jobs. And guess what? They lost jobs. It wasn't to hear me say they did the work and they didn't lose anything. No, they lost jobs. They lost jobs. They lost contracts. They missed interviews and all that. For the 1 week, in my heart, I was feeling perhaps. But it has to be so. We've lost things too for the gospel. Yes, so it should be normal. Good thing is, when you are done with the sacrifice, it's just at that point you're going to feel somehow. When you look back and remember it, you'll be excited, you'll be happy. Because what is it that you lost that God has not given you back now? Are you following me? So we must go for commitment and attempt to restore. And you too, be available to be trained. Be available to be trained. Dare to be solid. You see why I'm saying all of this morning? Dare to be solid. Dare to commit. Don't just come around once in a while. Let God produce the best out of you. It is by training. It's by training. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So sometimes people look, I'm saying this just to help you understand something. Sometimes people look at me and you feel, this man does not have compassion, does not have mercy on people. I do have mercy on people. Just that the Holy Ghost loves you more than I love you. So I'm going to do what he says I should do to you. Is that okay? Glory to God. You know, when we had LMP here, that Sunday, I taught in service for 2 hours plus. After I finished, I gathered all our workers for a meeting. I taught them for another 2 hours. After I finished, we entered LMP. I taught for 3 hours. The same people. One Sunday. So, you know, at the time they were looking, I know, I saw your eyes. Is it that this man is a wicked person? What is wrong with him? And it's not like they went, nobody went to him. You stay here. You want to eat, go down, buy something, come up. You stay here and I teach you. I feel for you too. I know sometimes you are busy. You wish I can just permit you to come to church whenever you like. Let me tell you, if your pastor permits you to do anything you like, to come whenever you like, he's not doing you good though. I am telling you, later you will see that he's robbing you. He's robbing you. We are all ordinary until we are trained. It is training that makes us extraordinary. Did you hear what I said? We are all what? Ordinary until we are trained. We are all ordinary. So you need to master that. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I just have to mention that. But it will come up again in my teaching somewhere. Hallelujah. So have you been getting blessed so far in the meeting? Have you been getting blessed? Glory to God. Have you made new friends so far? Have you? So after this session, we are going to stay back and make friends. Okay, praise God. So make sure you make a new friend. Hallelujah. Guys and girls. Amen. What did I say you should do? Make a new friend. Glory to God. Make sure you make man up friends and perfect lady friends. That's what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Let me even say this to you. I will pray in that light this morning. By next year, there will be many weddings. Yeah, and let me see. A solid local church is a church of families. I get it. I'm very serious here. Solid local church. And a solid local church is that church where the guys are marrying the ladies and the ladies are marrying the guys. And I want to say to you, now this is not a joke. You want to get married. You want to do relationship and get married. Stop looking all over the world. Look around in your church. And I'm giving it to you as a matter of instruction. And there's a reason. You know, the Bible says something. I'm serious. When Abraham sent his servant to go pick a wife for Isaac, he told him, swear to me that you will not pick a wife for my son from any other place apart from our kindred. I get the point. He made the servant swear. It's not like if you pick anywhere, we'll not wait. I'm telling you, he's healthy. Do you understand the point? He said, from our kindred. Fellow brothers, stop looking here and there. Your wife is in this meeting. As you can see. You know, one interesting story is glory to God. One interesting story is a particular man in the Bible that had 5 girls, all ladies. He didn't have a man. Why am I saying all of this morning, sir? Well, it's fine. It's one of those digressions. Had 5 ladies. I think the daughters of Zelophehad. So when it was time to distribute lands and all that, they met Moses and told Moses, you have to give us lands. Because they are not men. So Moses went to the Lord. The Lord said, yes, give them lands. So they shared lands to the ladies. Years after, the ladies, you are going to get married. So they had a problem. They now said, went back to Moses, you've given us lands, but if we get married, we will still carry those lands to another family. I didn't get the point. That way, our father's name that we are trying to protect by asking you to give us lands will be lost. And then Moses turned to the Lord and spoke to the Lord. The Lord told him, tell them to get married, but tell them they should make sure they marry from their clan so that that land will still remain within their clan. That is why when God raises you up as a pillar in a ministry, it is healthy that you marry within that ministry. So that all the investments that have been made in your life will remain within that clan. I'm giving you a spiritual principle. Now, it's not as if it goes the other way, we will not wed you. No, it's not. There's no problem. There's no law like that. But when you, except you are passing through this church, if the Lord has spoken to you that this is your house, then the Lord does not offer confusion. So the way I talk to the Lord, when he says, son, stay here, look at him and say, or maybe if you're a lady, he says, daughter, stay here, look at him and say, daddy, give me someone here. Because you cannot tell me to stay here. And what he will do for some of you, he will give you even people that want to join what you are doing. He doesn't utter confusion. Because trust me, there are many believers that are looking for a church. And there are many ways they will join the church. Some of them will join through evangelism and outreach. Some will join by marriage. I get to the point. So why is Pastor saying all of this morning? Because we are going to wed people next year. And I want to do a lot of weddings next year. And so, once you are ready and available, we will hasten the plan. And you don't need to have money. You just need to have at least money to take care of your family. You don't need to have money for the wedding. They can sort that one for you. Wait. I didn't say we are dashing you money. I said I will sort it for you. I can tell you many things you can do. We can fix your wedding on a bright, wonderful Sunday morning. You don't pay for her. Just come here. We'll wait you right in church here. If you, if you so wish to share food, keep people food in takeaway packs. Let them go home. If you don't want to share food, go home. Celebrate with us and go home. It's not even because you are broke. Now how we want to run out? It's not like we don't have money. We just want to do it this way. Because I was telling them in Enugu Church, the reason why you don't want to do this thing I'm saying is because you are broke. You are broke, so if you do it, you will think, they will say, I don't have money. But you know, people that are rich can do it, and they will say that's just how they want to do it. So you have plenty money. But you can still do it this way. That's no big deal. And even if you have plenty money, it's not even advisable to spend all your money hosting weddings. What are you doing? Who are you trying to impress? You know, there's this program I watch on TV, Judging Matters. I don't know if you watch Judging Matters. Where there's a small court where people come and present their cases, and they solved. One of the cases they brought there was a lady that borrowed money to do a wedding for the brother who is abroad. Now the brother has gone back, they not repaid the money, and she's owing many people. Some abroad people. And she was borrowing the money because the brother is abroad, he'll pay back. So the person that brought her to court that morning was the person she bought drinks from. You pay me now for the drinks I bought for me. 200,000 on drinks. That's not too much. But what's the point? We are all the people that drank that. Do they even remember they ever drank anything? Toilet has received. So it is a drink. So if you have money, fine. If you don't have money, it's fine. You can even use the small money you have as a guy. Save it. Do a small wedding. Immediately after the wedding, on Tuesday, gift your wife a car. Do you understand? So is it not better than all those things they are trying to? Glory to God. That's by the way. So glory to God. It's a beautiful thing to want to marry. Now I'm saying this seriously because there are some people, I know we are a church of
Many people are learned and all that. So if they say you want to marry, come and let's pray for you. Let me tell you, it's good to want to marry. If it is your expectation, God will meet it. Pick a date. Glory to God. If you are mentioning people's name, it's because something is pricking your heart. That it could be you. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, we saw this on the second day, when he shall turn. I tell you, this meeting has changed from where it was last night. Okay, this is another, is in two phases. A part ended last night, another part is starting this morning. When he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when a man turns to the Lord in salvation, the veil, the blindness, the darkness over his eyes is taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He now said, but we all, with open face. What does open face mean? We all that the veil has been removed from our eyes. Do you remember? Because when you come into Christ, that veil that prevented people from knowing God, seeing his true personality, seeing his true character, seeing his, that veil is removed. Like if you are saved here, the veil has been removed from your eyes. He now said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. Actually, the word is a mirror. Beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Remember I showed you yesterday that one, when the veil was removed, one of the things we had access to see is now God's glory. Do you remember that? So when we now behold that glory, what now happens? We are changed into the same image that we are beholding. What are we beholding, if you remember? We are beholding God, remember? It was God that was dead behind the veil. How many of you remember this? The mercy seat, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, everything was behind the veil. That veil was now removed. We now have open faces. With that open face, we are now beholding that which has been removed, which has been revealed. And in beholding it, we are being changed into that same thing that we are looking at. Come on. So we are changed into that same. As we are looking to what light has revealed, we are changed into that thing that we are looking at. What I'm going to share with you this morning is what I consider and what you should know as the greatest need of any believer. I'm going to share with you this morning. As we begin to behold, because there is no other revealing, there is no other opening. The light has shone, the veil has been removed, we are seeing. But then, we must keep beholding what has been revealed. It is in beholding is that we are changed. Now watch this. When you are born again, your spirit man is complete, you become a brand new person. But then your mind is still the same, your body is still the same. Now, but something has been revealed. As you keep looking at that which is revealed, you are changed exactly. This now, not to your spirit, now because spirit is already changed, but to your body and your mind, you are changed into the same thing you are looking at. So that God that has been revealed, I will show you this morning. When we begin to look at him, we are changed into the same thing we are looking at. Excuse me. We are changed into the same thing we are looking at from glory to glory. So how does change come for a believer when he begins to look at what has been revealed? This is very powerful. How does a believer change and become more like God in his conduct? It is by looking and looking at what has been revealed in Christ Jesus. Looking at it. As we behold, as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image.
from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you keep looking, put up like NLT of that verse. Like New Living Translation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, so all of us who have had that veil removed. Amen. Can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Put up Amplified Classic. It's Amplified. Hallelujah. He says, all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. I get the point. So how does change come? Something has been revealed. Be looking at what has been revealed. As you keep looking at what has been revealed, gradually you will realize that it's now a mirror. What do I mean by a mirror? At first, when you start looking at it, you are seeing two different people. You are seeing yourself, you are seeing the Lord. As you keep looking, change keeps happening to the point that you now look, it's now a mirror. What do we mean? It's now a reflection of you. Who's following me at all? You are being changed into that same image from glory to glory. And that is what I consider the greatest need of the believer, to keep seeing, to keep knowing what has been revealed. To have more revelation in what has already been revealed. Revelation is the greatest need of the believer. The greatest need of the believer is not money. The greatest need of the believer is not a car. The greatest need of the believer is not even healing, no matter how sick he is. The greatest need of the believer is revelation. Something has been exposed to light. You must keep looking at it. That's how you're going to be changed. That's how you're going to be changed. Hallelujah. You know, John 8 verse 31. Put it up. John 8 verse 31. The change that comes by beholding God's word, by looking at what God has shown us. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, watch, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. So what did he say? Continue in my word. Continue. Stay there. Continue. Amen. Now what will now happen? Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. So when he talks about knowing the truth here, some of us think we shall know the truth is just a one-time action. What is the truth? You are righteous in Christ. He say, yay. No. The knowledge of this truth is the knowledge that comes by continuing in my word. So this knowing the truth is not something that just happens. This is talking about when you come to revelational knowledge. Not just what you heard. He did not say you will hear the truth. Come on. He said you will know it. How will you know it? Huh? If you continue in my word. So it's not just truth that we know because I know it now. You know this, God loves us. I know. No. If you continue until that which you've heard comes to that point of revelation knowledge, what we call epignosis, when it takes hold of you. Have you ever been reading a scripture, you know, and then one day it's like you just got it? Has that ever happened to you? It's like you just got it. It's not like you've not heard it before. It's like you just got it. I was trying to have my bath one day and the scripture flashed to my mind. Flashed. And I ran out immediately. I picked my Bible and I looked. And I said, hey! Now, for that scripture to flash to my mind, it's telling you that I already knew it. I've heard it before. I even know the verse. I even know where it is in the Bible. Please follow what I'm saying. But that's what you call revelation knowledge. You know, I was reading Ruth Kenyon. You know
E.W. Kenyon. I was reading something, Ruth Kenyon. Ruth Kenyon is the daughter of E.W. Kenyon. Now, when you hear daughter, stop thinking about a 5-year-old child or a 17-year-old child. When I mean daughter, I'm talking about, I think she's even late now. So, but she was writing something about the dad. He said that one of the most beautiful images she cannot forget about her dad was one day she came into the bedroom and saw the man trying to shave, you know, his beard and all that. And the Bible was open. He was shaving and looking. And tears were dropping as he was smiling and seeing something in the Bible while in the bedroom. I get to the point. There is something you will know. There is a revelation that will happen to you. You will not be sick again. There is a revelation that will happen to you. You will not be broke again. What we need more than every other thing is revelation. To know. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Kabarata. It will make you free. Probably like Amplified. Start from 31. Oh, glory. Amplified Classic. He says, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him. So these guys already believed. So he wasn't talking to people who were unbelievers. They already believed. So he's talking to you. He said, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. That's truth. That's truth. Problem like message. Hallelujah. He said that Jesus told to the Jews and claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure, then you will experience for yourselves the truth. The truth is an experience. It's not just hearing something. It's an experience. When you experience it, it will free you. Kaya. It can free you. It can free you from bitterness. It can free you from hurts. It can free you from depression. It can free you from... But you need to experience it. When you come to that experiential knowledge, that revelation knowledge, it will free you. You shall know the truth. You know, that's why the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 105, that very popular psalm. You know, Psalm 119 is a psalm dedicated to the word of God. And the impact of the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 105. Hallelujah. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light. So the word of God is a light to my path. It shows me where to walk. When you have revelation. Put up another translation of that. A lamp unto my feet. A lamp unto my feet. NLT said, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. A light for my path. A light for my path. The word of God. The word of God. Amplified Classic. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Of course, Message Bible. Hallelujah. Your words, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. So most times, what we need is not the many things you are looking for. We just need the revelation of the word of God. You know, and it's a continuous thing. Because there are still areas that you've not gotten clearly. There is an area of God's word that will open up to you. Problem will cease in that area forever. Forever. And that's why my prayer for you this morning is that revelation will happen to you. That's my prayer this morning. Because you don't know how important it is. I'll still come to some of these things this morning. Well, most people are praying for wealth. Do you know that is something you will know? Ask, like I read Kenneth Copeland a lot. Ask Kenneth Copeland how he became wealthy. He will tell you, I got revelation. Light. He said, I got light. I shut down everything I was doing. I locked my door and read the Bible and Brother Hagin's book until light happened to me. I came out, I was rich. Life is that easy. Somebody is saying, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's fine. Revelation. What do you think? You know, I was doing a study, and I've done this study many times. What do you think? Why do you think that there was a constant prayer? Of course, Paul prayed for protection for the church. Paul prayed for prosperity. But there was a constant prayer he prayed for every single church he wrote. For light.
for revelation. Every single church. Ephesians 1:17. We start from there. Ephesians 1:17. Every single church. He had the same. He just used different words to pray it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. You know, we've been praying this prayer in church every day, and it has become common to you. But Brother Hagin said he believes that if you pray this prayer every day of your life for 1 year, your life will change. The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is hope of his calling. That is what the believer needs. Your eyes opening to light. To light. What they call working of miracles. There is light that will shine. It will become like water. Kaya barata. Light. That you may know what is hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his sense. He kept talking. Verse 19. Kevarata. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? You need to know. Towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. That is the greatest of every believer is knowledge. So why are there struggles in some areas of your life? Amen. You think it's because you've not prayed enough? Sometimes knowledge. In fact, it's even knowledge that will fuel your prayer life. It is revelation that will give life. You know that is, you know, when you have revelation for instance of answered prayer, you can go in after praying, you go home and sleep. Because that is revelation. You know that, you know, the day it dawned on me, let me say this to you, and I say this also, it will help you. You know what we call impartation and all that? I believe in impartation a lot. It has helped me. Some of you that followed me for long in ministry, you know I'm not someone that prays for needs a lot. You know, the elders of my ministry, I don't pray for money. If you followed me for like those early days. But I was in a meeting with my pastor, and he was teaching about 2019. And that day, somehow, a revelation happened to me that by your words, you can cause people to go from one level to another in their finances. I just knew it. And that's why if I touch you and say your finance is blessed, it is blessed. I am so sure. It's not just because I read this from a book. It's something I know, like I know my name. I've shared this with the church before. Somebody was here, came to my office one day. There were two. Of course, our friend accompanied her to help her, maybe to cry together. She had my voice, was crying. So I'm at the job. They've taken the job from me. They just sent me that I lost my job. And I said, well, you don't cry in my office. This is not a place for tears. It's a place of solutions. So if you come to the place of solution, you don't cry. And of course, she tried her test. I'm not crying again. I'm not crying again. See, they just took my job from me. And they said, it's fine. I said, by the Holy Ghost, I said, I'm going to hold your hands. And I'm going to pray for you. And the wisdom of God is going to come upon you. You know, even laying on of hands, anybody can do it. But when you get the revelation of laying on of hands, even you as a minister, when you touch somebody, you know the person has changed. It's a revelation. I told her, I'm going to pray for you. I'll just hold your hands and pray. Was it your head or your hand? I can't remember. I'm going to hold your hands and I pray. He said, as I pray, the wisdom of God is going to rest upon you. And when the wisdom of God comes upon you, you will walk out of this office. By the time you get home, you are going to pick up your phone and reach out to those people that just fired you. And they will hire you back. And she said, what do I tell them? I say, sincerely, I don't know. But when I put my hands on you, do as the occasion demands. And I prayed for her, and she went home, and just as it was said, called them, spoke with, I don't even know what she told them today. But by the end of that day, she had the job back. Now, see, it's how I started praying for needs was revelation. I just kind of know that once I speak over your finance, it cannot go down. It's a knowing. You see, ministry, if God can open your eyes to know. So you see Paul praying for the whole churches. He will not say, I pray that your account will increase. I pray. That wasn't his focus. There were places he prayed for finances, like where he said, my God shall supply. There are places like that. But the constant prayer throughout his books that you may know, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know, that your eyes be open. Are you following me, church? Look at Colossians 1. Listen to another one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Hayash. Say, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease. He said, I do not cease to pray for you. So what he's about to tell me is a prayer. He's praying every day, every day. What is the prayer? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He now said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. So you want people to walk worthy of the Lord. Let them be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let light come. You know, that is a revelation you are going to get. That sin you're struggling with will lose its hold on you. There is something you are going to know. Depression will never be your problem again. Never. Never. That's why for some of what God wants to do for you is beyond all this. Oh, I just got healed. Thank God for last night. It was beautiful, right? Different healings in this place. But God wants to go beyond that to give you a revelation of divine health. What do you think? Some heaven of God, they say things like, it is 42 years now since I last tested paracetamol. And you hear it and you say, is it possible? It's revelation. Glory to God. A songwriter said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see. That is the greatest prayer of the believer. It's not about having visions. No, that's not spiritual encounters. I'm talking about having revelation where light shines in your eyes. You see, why I'm doing this teaching, because I told you, that's why you don't play with morning sessions. I know by night now, everywhere we park, that people are looking for where to sit all over the place, as we saw last night. But you see, somehow I feel that night sessions are for seekers. Morning sessions are people who want the real deal. So I teach in the morning. Amen. Revelation. Your eyes opening. That you may know. That you may know. Philippians 1 verse 9. Same prayer in different ways. Philippians 1 verse 9. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let your love abound. How will it happen? It will happen in knowledge. Hallelujah. In answer that you may approve things that are excellent. Knowledge. Knowledge. So people say, I struggle with walking in love. People hurt me, I just can't forgive them. I can't let go. Something will happen to you, we break down. You know, something can happen to you, revelation can happen to you. You will be looking for bitterness, you cannot find it. I mean, people will do something bad to you, and you decide you'll be angry with them, and you are searching for anger. And I've passed through that system. I've experienced it. It is difficult for people wonder, people think, we form these things. Some of you, you know, you come and tell me, oh, somebody, people said this, that girl said you are stupid, that girl said you are scam, that boy said you are a very big fool, and I cannot find any anger in my heart. I just tell you, well, let's just pray for them. Let's just, you know, forget, just pray. She'll be fine. He'll be fine. You say, why are you doing all of this? That is, sometimes I want to be angry for real. I want to be bitter. I refuse to let go, but I can't find it again. Because revelation, when it hits you, it wakes you up. It wakes you up. Some of these struggles, when revelation hits, it wakes you up. Let me show you one other important one. Philemon verse 6. Philemon verse 6. Oh, glabaratish. Fenekabash. In the revole grobete prekotov rekateya. Thank you, Father. Wow. Philemon verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. You know, this is a prayer. Go back to verse 5. This is a prayer. He was writing to Philemon. He said, go back to verse 4. I want to see where he mentioned prayer. Yeah. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer.
He now began to tell him the prayer point he was praying. He said, I heard of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. Now, verse, you see the prayer. The prayer is that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So it's when you come to that point of acknowledgement of the good things that are in you, that your faith becomes effectual. Let me even digress to say this. Even what you call faith is a revelation. Okay, if faith happens to you, sometimes people can be trying to cry and you are just so calm. It's a revelation. Faith is a knowing. It's a knowing. It's a revelation. It's beyond teaching. And I'm praying that the things you've known in your head, you've heard in your head, will become revelation in your heart from now. From now, in your heart, that you may know, that's light. That is light in light. Something has been revealed. That is having revelation in what has been revealed. Faith is a knowing. Faith is revelation. If it happens to you, you know when people see me do some things, I've passed through a system. I'm out. If I tell you something will happen, it will happen. Recently, I wanted to get something. I didn't want to share this testimony, but let me just say it a little. I wanted to get something. And whenever I want to get something, I pray about it, I declare, and I keep speaking over it, I keep talking. And so but when I do that, I also save up. So money was coming, I was saving up for it, saved up some cool cash for it, I was able to do it. In less than 1 month, one challenge after another came, and the whole money disappeared. And I was talking to somebody, and I told the person, when he said, what are you now going to do? I said, I'm happy it happened. I said, why? I said, it's an opportunity to prove to myself and to the devil that my faith was not in the money I saved up. That's why if you have a project and you save up for it and the money finishes, start rejoicing. It's time to prove to yourself, to the devil, that your faith was not actually in the money you saved up. It was on God. So I said, thank God it has finished. Hallelujah. And blessed be God who does not leave me stranded. Who hastens up his word to fulfill it. You see, faith is a revelation. If he catch you, people cannot talk you out of it. What do you think happened to men? I tell you stories like, they say you're going to lose this hall by tomorrow. And you have to pay $5 million for the hall. They don't have the money. They are relaxed. Sometimes people say, we're coming to throw you guys out by 12. By 10:30, they're still relaxed. By 11, they're still relaxed. By 11:45, they're smiling, operating their phone. It's a revelation. It's not, you don't form it. If you know day, you know day. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't form it there. I'm just gonna do like a half it. That's like the choir. The song, the expression did this one is powerful. Meanwhile, celebrate the expression for me. Come on. Now see why you do that. Every song you've seen them do here from the first day, whether as praise or as worship or as choir song, they wrote all of them. You get it, but all of them. And these are spiritual songs. I've been getting blessed. You know, let me say this to you. Church is not a place of gyration. And I'm just telling you, he said this program, since we came, we've not done all this kind of injecting. We've not done it. What are we going to do? Injecting. Let me tell you, you will not do it. It's supposed to be that if they are singing, you are focused on the words that they are singing. And they are sweet songs, by the way. But you see, they have wording so that you can think. Sometimes we go to church and we sing, we are excited, but we are not blessed. Now, there's a song people sing. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what it means. Or maybe it was cut out from another song. But if you know what it means, please tell me. What does this thing mean? Yeah, 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 yeah. What does it mean? No, it's not. Let me tell you. What is the meaning? Is it like another language? I don't know. Thank God that we have Igbos, Yoruba, we have Akwa Ibom, is there any, does it mean anything? What does it mean? Now, I'm not against your singer. I'm not fighting your singer. Don't think I'm against. I'm only saying the church is not a place people say, if we cannot go to club, let us club in church. Why do you want to go to club? The church is a place for the world. We are not here to entertain you. You see, I've pastored every kind of church. I've pastored churches without instruments. And I don't feel bad. Because we are not there to entertain you. But let there be no instruments. You can hear what you are singing. When I pastored that boy in the church, no instruments. They know now. I come to church by 9. We pray till 10. I come up. I teach till 1. You go home. See, it's not a place for entertainment. It's a place where revelation happens. The Bible calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. So the choir, the song the choir did this morning, Jesus shone his light on me. You know, they were talking about the fact, he said, my healing waited for me. Everything I needed waited for me. But like a shadow, I couldn't hold it until Jesus shined his light. That's how it happens. Everything has been kept for you in Christ. But you see, they will all elude you. They will all, you miss it until revelation comes. When light comes, wow! Are you following me, church? That by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Ephesians 4. Let's see Ephesians again. Ephesians is one place he prayed this prayer for them, a lot. But this one is not a prayer. He just talked about something. He said that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, Ephesians 4:11, and pastors and teachers. Now, see verse 12. Why did he give all these ministry gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. What is that unity of faith? The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So what brings you to, in fact, put up an penalty of this. Sorry, to make sense to you. Look at verse 13. Look, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. It is that knowledge that makes you mature. So without revelation, we are all babies. Who's following me at all? Mature in the Lord. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The great destiny of the believer is that he needs to know. He needs to know. He needs to know. He needs to have revelation knowledge beyond what he has heard the pastor say. Beyond what he has read in books. It has to happen to him like an experience. Not in the physical. Hallelujah. I remember 2000 and, was it 14? That's when I met Pastor Mona. First day she came to church, I'm going to say it to your presence. So first day she came to church, because she was coming from a certain place. So, right there she was just, I said, what do you want? She didn't even come, she missed service because she couldn't, she came and church, something happened, she couldn't come to church. So she went to church elsewhere and called me, so I'm coming now. I said, we have dismissed, but just come. She came, sat down, I said, what do you want? She said, you know, I want an encounter. Praise God. She said, I want an encounter. I know that is God, but I want to encounter him. I want to feel him. So then, it's very funny. So I opened my Bible. I said, this is the encounter you need. She said, no, I know about Bible. But I want an encounter. I was just laughing. So I just took like a few minutes, asked her some questions, and I said, go with my Bible, because it will help you understand better. My Bible is anointed, so go use it and go and study, do an assignment, come back, see. And the point is, because then, I know why the whole encounter is happening, because there is a prophetic calling upon her life, and she wanted to start, you know. I said, well, for now, you're going to stop everything you are seeing. I'm going to stop your eyes. You will see nothing. That is how we raise weak believers. Because we just meet them. We feel, oh, the guy can pray, can heal the sick. You begin to take him to healing crusades. He comes out half-baked. You see, Paul said to Timothy, in picking diggings, he warned him, not a novice. I get the point.
You think being able to, because the point, she was seeing things, but even the simplest things are speaking in tongues. She wasn't even praying in tongues.
I get the point. And the certain man of God was already using her for his glory. Saying, see for me. I'm not joking.
Wake up in the midnight and say, I'm praying where I am now. Connect to my spirit. Such fanatism. Such.
Connect now. What do you see? Sir, I'm seeing sleep. I sincerely want to sleep now.
But those of you that are in Lagos Church, you've seen that prophetic ability heightened. You've seen it heightened. Because all the thing that you need is for God's word to embrace you when you hug it.
Are you following me, church?
So some of these things, we want to do this, we want to get this, we want to get that. Go for revelation.
No, Pastor Sam Adeyemi used to share this story of how, when he was younger, he would just go to Bishop's office and then tell Bishop, nothing is working. Church is not growing. Da, 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 da. Bishop would say, yeah, it's revelation light in the world. And he will come back. He said, this man does not want to tell me the secret. He said, one of the last days he went there, he went with his wife. He said, they waited and waited and waited and finally saw him. But they saw him when he was already leaving the office. Say, sir. He said, ah, Sam, how are you? Fine. He said, what? He said, sir, the same thing. He said, light in the world. Revelation. As angrily he went to him, he said, I'm not going back to that office again. And the wife told him, that's why he's going to marry well, amen. Amen. The wife told him, what is difficult in what he has asked you to do? Why don't we just try it?
I get to the point. He said he now went, packed every bishop's book, went, locked himself. He was reading, listening to tapes, reading, listening to tapes. He said when he came out from that experience, he knew they had contacted. Church was still the same. Finances were still, everything was still the same. But then, light has come.
Are you following me?
Light has come. So you see, that's your greatest need. I love how the Bible talks about, how the Bible talks about this revelation in Ephesians 3, I think that, start from 14, put it up. Maybe I'll just read that, and I'll move to the next thing. Ephesians 3 verse 14, watch, 3:14.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, now see verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what brings a believer to that fullness of God, that expression, is to be able to know. Go back to verse 17. Put up like NLT. Very powerful stuff. He said, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep it strong. See verse 18. And may you have the power to understand. This is knowledge. Understand what? As all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. The love of God is beyond hearing. God loves you. That is the revelation that happens to you. You see the height, the width, the length, the depth of it. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to fully understand. When it says it's too great, the human mind cannot comprehend it. King James said it is beyond knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. So how can you understand what is beyond knowledge? It tells you that it's not something you understand with your mind. It's a revelation that will happen to you. As you give yourself to the word, it will open up. And then suddenly, like you know your name. You know there is something someone cannot talk you away from. You see, your name is a revelation to you.
That's what I mean. At first, when they started calling your name, you were not even answering. But now, even if you are doing something and somebody calls your name, suddenly you are going to turn. It's not when you turn that you turn back. It's a revelation. It has dawned on you that this is my name. You need to come to a point where you understand the love of God in that capacity. Probably like verse 17 again, like Message Bible. And I'm trusting God this morning for that revelation. Tonight I'm going to pray that you have encounters with the divine. Hallelujah. But this morning I'm going to trust God that there will be revelation. He said that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, watch verse 18, you will be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. He said, reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. So it's beyond this thing. It's beyond hearing. He now says, live full lives. Full in the fullness of God. It is revelation that brings you where you begin to experience the fullness of the Godhead. It's beyond hearing it. It's beyond reading from a book. It's beyond saying, I know it's not righteous in Christ. Revelation. Tabarush. It's your greatest need. More than health, more than finance, more than safety, more than anything. Revelation. A big gnosis of Christ. I've been teaching like that. A big gnosis of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 82 verse 5 said, they do not know, neither do they understand. So they wallow in darkness. Hi-ya-ya. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth are out of course. Because they don't know, they don't understand. May the Lord open your eyes. That the things that you've heard from the world, the things that you've heard people say, and you've even heard me say, will now become a revelation to you. It's not become a revelation to you. So you need to know. For instance, there are one or two areas that need to open up to you as revelation. And I'm going to mention them. And let me tell you, mentioning them, let it throw you into your prayer life. Let it throw you into your study life. That because these are areas that I believe that when you grab, you begin to live a victorious Christian life. One of them, for instance, is the area of the character of God. You know, we all know God is love, oh, God is good. Yet, when trouble comes, you begin to ask, where was God? You really don't know it. The reason why sometimes it still crosses your mind, God, who even knows if God exists? Or you hear things like, you know, you believe God is good, but when something bad happens, you are all tempted to believe that this could be the devil. I've been hearing character of God, character of God, character of God, character of God. You know, God is good. You know, that's, you see the point. Go to any congregation today. Any congregation in the world, a church congregation. Shout, the Lord is good. What would they shout? All the time. So they know it. But when COVID came, they still say it is God that brought the COVID. The God that is good all the time. So they've heard it. But it's not yet in their heart as revelation. God everywhere. Tell them Satan. He says Satan is wicked. Satan is wicked. The Lord is good all the time. Or if actually the Lord is good all the time, and yet she's sick in the hospital, she believes that maybe God gave her that sickness because of one sin she committed. She really does not believe what she's saying. She doesn't know it. She has heard people say it. She doesn't understand it. I get to the point. That's why the beautiful thing is, it is a big secret. Daniel 11:32. Look at it. Daniel 11:32. Very powerful stuff that we are missing. He said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So the secret of strength and doing exploits in life and in ministry is your knowledge of God.
Coming to that point where you have revelation about the character of God, about the person of God, where you know it beyond every reasonable doubt that God is a good God and God is love. That is why somebody can be passing through a lot and he's so calm. You ask him why. Say, my father is good. He won't leave me here. I just know that God is good. The reason why you are still reasoning, what if after all this ministry thing, somebody becomes broke? You don't know that God is good. If you know that God is good, you know that a good God will not leave you broke. It's a revelation. Are you following me, church? It needs to happen to you. When it happens, when you catch up with it, about the character and the personality of God, nobody can talk you out of it. You become strong, you begin to do exploits. To see you highly lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, point of your power and love, as we sing, holy, 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 sing holy. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's just tell me how you play. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you. To see you.
Shining in the light of your glory, pour down your power and love, as we sing holy, 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 I want to see you.
To see you highly lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Say holy, 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 holy. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. To pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Say holy,
holy, holy. Holy, I want to see you.
Revelation is your need. If your eye opens to see the character, the person of God, you just know it. Nobody can talk you out of it. This will not be looking fine in your life, but you know beyond everything that God is a good God, is a faithful God. That is a good God. He's a good God. This is the greatest thing that you will go home with from Zoe this year. That my eyes be open, that I may see, that I may know, that I may know how much, comprehend how much God is love, how much He is good, how much He is merciful, how much He looks out for me, how much He fails not, that I may know, that I may know. Paul said, I counted everything as lost, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, that I may know.
To see you highly lifted up,
and
shining.
Just pray. If you want to pray, take your time and pray.
Hold down your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Only, holy, holy, I want to see you.
Swabarana no dayabasoko. Beyond what I hear, beyond what I've seen, beyond what they've said to me, that I may know, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I will see clearly the Lord in His glory, in His mercy, in His goodness. They that know their God are going to be strong and are going to do exploits. Hey, Kabarata. I want to teach, but I want us to pray a little more. I want us to pray a little more. That the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may see, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Lord told me that this morning, that people will see, people will understand. It will open up to people that which God has revealed.
I want to see you. To see you, I lift it all.
Shining in the light of your glory.
To bow down your power and Lord.
As we sing, holy, holy, holy. We sing,
holy, 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 I want to see you.
Listen to me, George. Part of the reason why we drag you to come to church, drag you to be serious, is that revelation has not come. That is something that will happen to you. Now you go carry yourself, they go. It becomes a propelling force on the inside. Have you ever experienced what I'm talking about? All this is a drag you to come evangelism. There is something that will happen to you. It will begin to drag you. Something like that, not even the full thing, happened to Jeremiah. And he said, your word is shut up in my bones as fire. Meaning it has come to a point in the life of Jeremiah that even though he doesn't want to preach, something is moving him and moving his tongue. It's a revelation. When you come in contact with it, nobody will drag you again. You will see God, you will know Him, and you will, nobody can make you doubt it. Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. So the character of God related to that, for instance, is, you know, related to that is knowing what Christ has done in Christ, what God has done in Christ. You know, we hear it all the time, oh, what God has done in Christ, yet it dawns on me every day that we've really not fully comprehended it. We've not. I always say this jokingly sometimes, we all announce how righteous we are in Christ, and yet when there is a need to act on that righteousness, we are nowhere to be found. Yeah, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm not a sinner. Glory! Two things. Let him make a mistake, he will forget. Or let another believer make a mistake, he will say, Jesus Christ. And we call ourselves Christian. He doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know that he's even forgiven. He doesn't even understand righteousness one bit. You know, I said somebody yesterday, the church, we preach mercy, but we lack mercy. We don't want to give anybody mercy. A great music minister died yesterday. And I went online and I saw a lot of people saying, RIP, RIP, you'll be missed. The earth has lost someone. I said, can you imagine? this same guy had a scandal early this year around January. Came out on social media and apologized to everybody, admitted. You know something about scandal? When you come, you are in that kind of situation, don't try to defend yourself. Because I found out that in this generation, anything you do is a problem. If they say you did something bad and you refuse to talk, they will say he's even proud. He's not even answering anybody. He's not even answering anybody. He's proud. He's not even say something. At least answer. Now, if you talk and say I didn't do it, they say hey, he can lie. They can deny. If you now come out and say I did it, they will say hey, to fiakwa. There is no you do that is good. We don't know mercy. We preach mercy. We preach love. We preach grace. We preach God has forgiven us. We don't know it. If you know it, Jesus said that because this woman has been forgiven much, she loves much. So when the knowledge of your forgiveness dawns on you, it will be easy to give that same love to other people. The same man had a scandal in January. The same pastors are saying, RIP, you'll be missed. Oh, we lost someone. All of them shut their door from him. Many of them stopped picking their call. He even pulled down his social media accounts at a time. They didn't reach out to him. And then yesterday, he slumped and died. Who knows? A heart condition, maybe, because of all the depression and all the things that has happened. And we are back to show him love. Oh, you'll be missed. A great minister. He has died. We don't know the love of God. We don't know forgiveness. Are you forgetting me? We don't know it. We think we know it. God has forgiven us. If we know it, it will show in how we love other people. Sometimes, do you even give believers, at least, just give them some mercy? I get to the point. It's like, I can't believe that guy did that thing. I can't believe. God forbid, church people. You see, he's snapping his finger. He's worse, so, but he's snapping his finger. He doesn't know the love of God. Jesus said, Luke 7:47, this woman is loving me this way. That was the woman that poured the alabaster, broke the alabaster box. Jesus said, she's doing this big thing because she has been forgiven much. In other words, the knowledge of that woman's forgiveness made her love. When I came in contact with understanding the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus to the level I understand it now, there is nothing I cannot forgive. I am saying this to you. Drag me to the mud. Hit my head anywhere. Do everything. This heart has been taught to love. This heart has been taught to forgive. This heart has been taught to hold nothing. Why? When I saw the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and poor content on all my pride. When you see how much he has done on the cross, what is it that man can do that you will not let go of? As here I am now, do anything, hit me. Break my head. It will pain me. I'll be angry. But I tell you, I'm just giving you some 30 minutes. I'm forgiving you. My arms are open again. You cannot break me to a point where I cannot trust again. It can't happen. Many of you are at that point. So I can't trust anybody again. You need revelation. See what God has done in Christ. See how many times you have sinned. God is trusting you again. He's trusting you again. He's still trusting you with ministry. After the mess up you did the last time, he trusted you again. You escaped and no more doing again. He trusted you again. All this talk is just that we lack. Our eyes have not been opened to see what God has done in Christ. To understand how much he has given. That is the problem. When you know. That's why let this meeting release you to your study life. Let it send you back to your Bible. Let it send you back to Christian materials. Seek for revelation. Fight for it. Sell your garment and buy the sword. Go for it. Because that's what is lacking. We don't know God. We don't know his love. We don't know his mercy. We don't know his forgiveness. We think we know, but we don't. We think we know because we've heard somebody say it. Do you know, I can even add something. Well, I didn't plan to talk about this. It's a digression, but I want to do it. Even what you call followership, it's a revelation. What do you think we keep men like Bishop Apioye to follow one man for 42 years and counting? You think he has not seen bad days? You think he has not seen? Because there's a revelation that, see, it has dawned on me. That's why I tell people, I'm not moved by what you say. Come and say, Daddy, the Lord sent me here. I'm here to stay forever. I'm not excited. One came to me one day and said, I'm here forever. In fact, I am moon, you are sun. As the sun, you just, I don't have, as the moon, I don't have any light of my own. I'm just here to reflect your light. After talking, I was looking at him. The moon is nowhere to be found today. The moon has abandoned the sun. Talk is cheap. When it's not coming from a place of revelation, it's empty talk. You get the point? It's empty talk. I'm not like that. I'm not excited again. All this ministry forever. If it's not coming from a place of revelation, in 6 months' time, you know, there is something you know. I've seen people that have, a lot of things has happened to their ministry. Things has happened. There is a man in this country started a church. The church got to about 1,000 plus. A scandal struck. The church broke up into pieces and came down to less than 20 people. The man went again, started another work. After years, the church grew to about 700. Another thing struck and broke the church to pieces. And the church closed down. After some time, he went again. What do you think gives people at that point of struck down but not destroyed? Is revelation. Some other person will have one scan. They say, I'm not doing it again. It's a no. It's a no. So you need to know what God has done in Christ. Peter explains that is how you grow. In 2 Peter 1 verse 5, he said, add to your faith. Put it up. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. Vrede koporoko shitaya. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Hallelujah. And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. Hallelujah. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. Just keep adding to yourself. For if these things, watch, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now see verse 9. He that lacketh all these things he mentioned. He said, he that lacketh them is blind. He cannot see afar off. He has forgotten that he has been purged from his sin. So when people don't have knowledge of the Father, they've been forgiven and purged. They lack all the things that Paul listed. So when knowledge of a forgiveness happens to you like revelation.
The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death. Yes, 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 yes. Defeated forever, he
is glorified.
Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you know, beyond knowledge, nobody can talk you out of it. When you know that you've been forgiven, you can begin to grow from there. Isn't that what I know? You don't know. You've heard. You've read. You don't know anything. You have information. Information is not revelation.
Even though revelation starts from information. Do you understand the point? It starts from information, but that is not revelation. From information, it can now get to that point of revelation. So sometimes all you have is information. You can even explain it. You can even inform somebody else the same way. But when it dawns on you, it will have an effect in your life. It will show. It will show. You know, there are some things that happen to me, and I tell myself, guy, you need to grow. When I told myself, you don't know new creation realities, some years back, was when something happened to me, somebody hurt me, and I blotted that, and I held on to that thing for long, some years back now. And I told myself, one day I was praying, and the Lord said, can't you see that you really don't understand what I've done? That was a big test. Sometimes, when money finishes from your hands, and you are at your lowest moment, sometimes it will be a proof, it will be another time to test if you really believe everything you say you believe about God. Whether you really believe that God is a provider. Whether you really believe that ministry is forever. You know, for some people, you know, the Bible said, if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. So why people faint is not because adversity is too much. The strength was small. So the strength of your revelation is tested when there is adversity. I don't know who needs this word. The strength of a revelation. You say, I know that God is my provider. Ministry, no matter what you go do. That small challenge coming is a test to the revelation you say you have. Who is following me at all? It's a test. Some of you, the small horse that people hurt you now is a test. So everything you've said with your mouth, I'm here for life. I'm serving the Lord. I will not change. That is the test to it. Is it just what you are saying? Whenever there is a revival, one thing that happens is a revival gathers people and it gathers waste too. I am telling you. Just like example is when there's a strong wind blowing. Okay, let me not use that. Have you seen where they harvest rice? I don't know who needs what I'm saying now. When they harvest rice, they pack everything, sand, the shell, everything in the basket. The basket will be full like this, but everything is not rice. They take it to the threshing floor. They begin to thresh. By the time they are done threshing, what may be left may be half of the basket, because everything was chaff. It's only men that are grounded on the revelation of what they know that will last, that will survive. You get the point? I say this all the time. I thank God, Pastor Casey is here. On this journey, we've seen chaff gathered. Time will prove whether you know what you say you know. Throw yourself in the world. Forget all this hula baloo. Throw yourself in the world. I get the point. All this ginger. Oh, wow, God. Get to the world. Know it beyond knowledge until it begins to show in your life. You see people say, I have joy. I have joy. They are shouting. They think they know it. They know nothing about the joy of the Spirit. Because let them get home and one bad thing happens. He's on his bed for 2 years. Why is my life like this? He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. If he knows it, he will feel bad. But that joy will rise. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. And I tell you, that is why you need to come to that point. I want to rush this. So you need to know the revelation of who you are in Christ and all that. It needs to happen to you. I want to go towards the last thing because I think I've spent some time here. You need to know finally, and I'm going to say a lot on this, the implications of what Christ has done. Now, I've talked about all Christ has done, your forgiveness, justification. You need to know that one. But I'm talking about you need to also come to the revelation of the physical implications of what Christ has done. For instance, you need a revelation of divine health. There is healing. We saw it last night. There is miracle. We saw it last night. There is divine health. That one is not by impartation. That one is revelation. Are you following what I'm saying? It's revelation. There is something you will know. Baba, you will not go fall sick again. What do you think? Look at a man called Paul. gathering firewood. Snake beat him. They don't just bite him, not guesswork. Beat him and fastened itself on his hand. He just flung the thing like this. He fell into the fire. He continued living his life. Revelation. The guy knows. You know the revelation he got? Jesus told them, you will drink deadly things. It shall not harm you. You will trample on snake and scorpion. He got it as a revelation. So when anything stole, he said nothing happened. It's a revelation. You need a revelation of divine health. It's a promise Jesus, God made, even in the Old Testament. It put up Exodus 23, verse 25.
Hey, you do bush on you. Jesus shone his light on me. Became my day. It feels so good.
I am free. I am free and I know it. He shines through my heart.
Yes. He said, now look at it. Exodus 23:25. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. Maybe you go with those mics to your seats. Yeah. You shall serve the Lord your God. Now, revelation. Are we serving the Lord? Look at the promise. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God as you are serving him. And he shall bless your bread and your water. That means everything I eat is blessed. Poison, no. Even if I eat nail. Children chop sand. And they're doing well. How interesting is that? They eat sand. And they don't die. In fact, they work strong. It looks like children that did not eat sand. We not grow well. You will serve the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. He has blessed my bread. He has blessed my water. He said, I will take sickness away from you. He said, I will heal you. I will take sickness. May this come and let it happen to us, Lord. The revelation of divine health. He will take sickness away from the midst of day. He will remove it. Verse 26 is powerful. He said, there shall nothing cast their young. It means nobody is permitted to have anything like miscarriage. Put up like an out of this verse. Nothing. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land. And I will give you long, full lives. Long life is a revelation. When he catches up with you, you stop being afraid of death. Now, what I'm doing this when I'm asking the question for you, people say, should they say God? He said believers will live long. And I know people that even die. You better get a revelation of what I'm sharing with you. Keep growing in it. Keep growing in it. At 87 and stay strong. At 92 and stay strong. At 98 and stay strong. At 102 and stay strong. That's what I'm trusting the Lord for. And I'm going to open my eyes to it until he catches up with me. That even when I am so down, I know I cannot die now because I'm not 120 yet. If you serve the Lord your God, he said you will. He will take away sickness from you. He will bless your bread. What it means is, he brings you to a point where as you are eating your normal food, you are chopping rice. That rice is doing what drugs should be doing in your body. I get to the point. As you are eating, you say, let me take water. Water is now doing the work that paracetamol should be doing in your body. Yeah. He said he sent his word and he healed their diseases. The Bible said they walked through the wilderness and none was feeble among them. More than 3 million people walked through the wilderness for 40 years. Not one person was feeble. We can have a church of no feeble person, no sick person, no weak person. We can have that church. It's a revelation. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. Psalm 105:37. I quoted it already. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. So I know some of you got healed yesterday. Some of you are still seeing some things in your life. Just be praying, but go for knowledge. Dip your head into what God has done for you in Christ. Dip your head into the fast of divine healing. Continue. Put your head there. And don't wait till you are sick before you begin to know. Know it. Grab it. Know it beyond all knowledge. No feeble person. You need a revelation of divine health. So all these things you are breaking your head for, all these things you're crying for, you need the revelation of divine health. When it comes on you, you just know that God is going to keep me in full health, full health. I am going to be in full health. No matter what, no matter what is going to happen, I am not going to be sick. It says, what if you now find yourself sick? The devil is known for trespassing. When he now trespasses, you face him headlong. I told you guys about Dr. Creflo Dollar, right? Went to the hospital, diagnosed him prostate cancer. He told the doctor, he said, what? He said, prostate cancer, you have to prepare for surgery and all that. He said, fine, I'll come back next 2 weeks. He went back, shut down everything, entered his room, began to eat God's word. To eat and to spit. You get the point? He was eating and spitting the word. Taking it in, speaking it out. After 2 weeks, he went back and said, test me again. He said, test you. What to test? He said, test it again. He said, ah! Yes, hope nothing is wrong with you. He said, fine, I'm going home. The devil will trespass. But revelation will keep you in sound health. The same thing that would have made people start saying, you know, that's why you need to get revelation, because it's not when the thing comes. It's something that has been building up on for a long time. It's not when challenges come. Same thing that would have made people start saying, oh, what kind of life is this? What kind of life is this? So prostate surgery, you begin to browse, you go to Google. And let me ask you, if you are sick, stop checking Google. You're going to see nonsense. They say if there is pain, it is gone. A pain and headache and running stomach. And you always want to ease yourself. HIV. So you are fixing your eyes the wrong place. What happened to God's word? One of the things I did, when this healing line was approaching yesterday, I did not, even as I yesterday, I was like, I refused to check all the forms that people were filling and all things that were wrong with them. I refused to check them. All I did was, I was reading the Bible. Because I don't want to know the name of the sin. Notice yesterday, initially I wanted to say, the initial plan was that yesterday we are going to tell people, you know, when you come, you tell me your sickness, or maybe you use a piece of paper and show me. But before that day I approached, the Lord said to me, the sickness does not matter, just ask the devil to go. I know last night was a very hot deliverance session here last night. Casting out of devils. That was not an impartation. It doesn't mean the devil is in the spirit of the believer, but devils oppress people's mind and people's body. And you saw those devils sleep violently yesterday. Put your eyes on God's word. The ancient words ever true. Kabarataya.
Changing me and changing you. We have come. We open up. Oh, ancient words impart.
That's what we need. That's what the light needs to shine in that area. Hey, Abarate, Kumana Shadia.
We are God. We don't open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
That's why I told some of you, sometimes I prefer healings gotten through process than healings gotten through miracles. You know, I can just learn something, you are fine. But see that healing that came by you staying on the word, confessing the word, and one day that happens. You've not just gotten healing, you've gotten revelation. I get the point. You've learned in the process. That's why people that are not grounded on the word of God, even after they get their healing, sometimes in 2 weeks they've lost it. Because they didn't really know anything in the first place. Changing me
and changing you, we have come with open hearts.
One more time.
Ancient words
and
virtues, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, that the ancient words impart.
Holy words, yes.
Long preserved for our walk in this world. Very sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient world.
Let the whole church sing it.
Ancient world,
ancient world, ancient world,
changing me,
changing me.
And changing you, we have gone with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Sit down. Hear what God is saying to me. Some of you that are passing through tough times, don't see it as an opportunity to complain. See it as an opportunity to stay on God's word and learn God's word and build capacity. And get revelation. So, revelation of divine health, for instance, you need a revelation of peace, the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. This santo saw the anxiety, all the depression, all the, it handles it. The Bible calls it the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In other words, it's a level of peace where nobody can understand how a human being can be that peaceful in the midst of the storm. How come he's so calm? It's what happened to you. Like, come on. Where you are, so it's a revelation. No? It's not prayer. I can pray peace upon you and it will come. But it will just be a momentary thing. After everything, when the next challenge comes, anxiety returns. I can pray and impart peace. And you say, what? So when you laid hands on me, I felt so much joy and peace and relief. It's beautiful. But if it's not a revelation in your heart, when the next challenge comes, you get back to depression. You get back to suicidal thoughts. You get back to trying to kill yourself. You get back to worry. You get back to fear. But there is a peace of God that surpasses understanding. It's a revelation that everybody needs. It's a revelation that everybody needs. The church is going down, but the man is peaceful. I perceive something. The church is going down, but the man is peaceful. Things are going wrong, but you are peaceful. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. Glory to God. In Isaiah 26 verse 3, he said he will keep him. He just showed you the secret of peace. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So when a man puts his fixes his heart on Jesus, on God, that is on his word, the man has perfect peace. Perfect peace. He's just so peaceful. Have you experienced peace in the storm? But I don't want it to just be an experience for you. I want it to now become revelation. What you still, you think Jesus will just be sleeping inside the boat? Sleeping in the boat. Calm. Everything is going wrong. He's calm. Everything is going wrong. He's sleeping. And the disciples said, do you not care that we are perishing? He's just calm. Hallelujah. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you've worked with me long enough in ministry, you must have seen this a lot. No matter how things are going wrong, you can never see me. But it was not always like that. It was 2016. I've shared this story many times. I wanted to publish a book. The name of the book was Beholding Jesus, the second edition. I had written the book, I had sent it to the press. The book was even ready. Some days before, because I wanted to release it at a meeting Champions Foundation was organized in Doxa. So the book was even ready. But I didn't have money to bring it out. I did everything. So I went to the man and explained to him, okay, I've given you some advance payment. Give me the book, I'll bring. The man said, yeah. I don't want to call that man's name. He said, it's not possible. So I called even people I shouldn't have called. That was my last time of doing that kind of thing. Even people I shouldn't have called, I called them. I said, oh, you should have called last week. And I did that. Money was not coming. It was approaching. I spoke faith. I did this. As a matter of fact, the theme for that Beholding Jesus was faith. So I was speaking faith. And it was approaching. As it was approaching, my faith was reducing. It was shrinking. Then, finally, 2 days to the meeting, it was obvious that there is no way in heaven and on earth I was going to get that. I was pissed. That night, I didn't sleep. I wasn't praying either. I was complaining. I was walking up and down. Thank God nobody was around. Brochim and them and some of them went for choir rehearsal that night. So I was alone in the palace. Spacing up and down. Nonsense. You tell somebody to write a book. I did not want to write this book. You are the one that told me to write this book. You now tell me I finished writing it. Okay, now bring. Will I eat the book? Oh yeah, it's there now. I was complaining. So I was spacing around all over the place. You now think it's 30 minutes. I'm talking about from around 9 till around 2, 3 in the night. So that was a long time of the devil talking to me and speaking through me. As at that time, I did not even have a message to preach in the program. Every energy was gone. Let me tell you, that's one thing the devil does. When he steals your peace, have you ever been to that point where you're so depressed and you're so, you don't even have energy to do anything? So I was pacing around that room. Let me even tell you something. And it's good I can tell this story now. Amazing, I did not just have money to, it's not just I didn't have money to print the book. I didn't even have money to go to the program that I organized. As in from Enugu to Nsukka to Enugu. So I was pressing around. Nonsense. Somebody is serving you. I think you are doing this intentionally. Because you know I love you with all my heart. You know I'm not going to stop serving you. That's why you're doing this thing to me. Other people that are not serving, I was angry. I'm not joking. Another thing about God, his father. You can complain. You can't beat him, sha. So somewhere around 2-3 in the night, I was still complaining. I brought the I opened my phone, opened the soft copy of the book, and I was just scrolling. Just imagine, look at all this, that I was scrolling. And my eyes fell on one of the topics that day. I wrote it too. It was titled, "Did It Fail?" I was talking about faith. Did your faith fail? So I read through how that David prayed and fasted for 7 days for the child not to die. And on the seventh day, the child died. And then when they informed him, he stood up and ate. You know, glory to God. It's a revelation. And that's the time people will start saying things like, so, God, why didn't this child die on the first day? You waited for me to complete this fast for the child to die. People were worried. They were like, how do we inform this man that the child has died? And he told them, tell me what happened to the child. He said, the child has died, and he just went and ate. And in that day I was writing, I said, even though it looked like your prayers were not answered, God never fails. And there are many other ways he will still bring the answers. For instance, that David, through that same woman, let her have a child. The child called Solomon, and that was where his generation came from. That was how Jesus came from that loins. Are you getting me, church? That was what I wrote, that, you know. So sometimes it's not even about what you write or what you preach. Are you getting me, church? If you don't know it, don't know it. You might think you know it. When challenges come, it will reveal whether you know it or not. Do you still want to hear a story? Okay, so I'll continue. So immediately that thing happened to me. I jumped up from there. It's like I caught something. I caught something. I began to pray in tongues. I was praying from that 3 till 6 in the morning. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Everything was happening. Joy was rising. And from that day, if I even attacked that thing that happened, by the next day when we're now about to go for the program, I still did not have money to go for the program. You now want to hear testimony. I still did not release that book in that doctor. I still went and came back. In fact, on the first day of the program, it was a Sunday, I was in church at Abuani preaching. We had made advance payment, very little advance payment in the hall we were supposed to use. And then I got text. The people said we cannot enter the hall until we are done paying. I've had an experience just on Friday night. I was not shaken. I finished preaching. I saw the text again. Who went to that meeting with me? Somebody went to that Sunday. I think it was Pastor Delight. And guess what I did immediately? I finished service that day. He told me to start rushing back to the program. I went back to my house in Abuani and slept. Who does that? Slept. It wasn't long sleep because, you know, there's what you call program mode. When you're in that program mode, you can't sleep for long. So for like an hour, I got up. That time, Pastor Casey was already calling. I said, well, I don't know what you're going to do. Just gather the people and talk to them. And the money will come. And you gather them, talk to them. Before I got there, the money came out. We entered and started the program. When the Lord gives you a revelation of his peace, it removes anxiety. I've had things happen, but nothing has been able to keep me down like that again. It's a revelation. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. That human beings cannot understand how a man in this world can be that peaceful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. Oh, thank you. Are we there? He said, now the Lord of peace. This is the word God gave me for this particular point. That the Lord of peace himself will give you peace always, by all means. Higher, it shocks me. So God will give me peace by all means. In other words, God will go the extra mile to keep you peaceful. And that's why there is no room for anxiety. There is no room for depression. There is no room for all this worry. May you know his peace. May you know that peace. Everything, listen, we live in a fallen world. Everything will not be fine all the time. But if you know his peace, everything will eventually be fine. Hallelujah. We can laugh in the storm. We can smile in the storm. And it won't just be one experience. After that experience, a lot of other things I can tell you stories upon stories. The times where it was like, you know, after that experience, about 2 years after that, some things happened, and I was even houseless at a time. Not for 3 months, not for 6 months, not for 8 months, not for 1 year. But I never slacked in ministry 1%. In fact, it didn't even bother me. I'd already known something. Hallelujah. I'll still come and preach to you for 4 hours. It's peace. I'm a very peaceful person. See, the peace of God is in my heart. Fully in my heart. I'm telling you, I've seen things that should have broken. That's why sometimes I tell you, anxiety is a challenge sometimes. It just reveals the level of your training, the quality of your training. Are you getting me? Challenges reveal the quality of your training. So you go to school and one or two tests you wrote did not come out well. You now see that one has no revelation. He's so disturbed. Saturday, you think of evangelism. Sunday, you not see. They say, what happened? So I was really down. They ask you, what happened? So I wrote tests. I read. I know something bad happened to you. But there is peace that comes. The kind that Jesus saw was sleeping. And the interesting thing about the sleep, the Bible said he was sleeping on a pillow. Do you understand the sleep? So it's not like he was dozing off. God was not dozing. So can you imagine the boat will go this way, boat will go that way. Peter is shouting, hold that side, hold that side. Jesus was sleeping. And then at the time, they heard him say, okay, don't you care that we perish? And I can just imagine Jesus standing up and say, what? He said, oh, boat. You of little faith. Why is that? Is that why people woke me up? Peace be still. Let me tell you, it's easy to walk in the power of God when there is no anxiety. When there is anxiety, who knows if it will work? Who knows if it will not work? You cannot walk. If there is peace, it's easy to walk in the power of God when you are calm. That's why, you see how Jesus did it. Your friend Lazarus is dead. Lazarus died around Holy Ghost Cathedral there. Jesus was going towards Gariki. He continued. First they said he was sick. He was going. Then I said, no, he has died. He got to Four Corners. He was just moving away from the scene. What peace. And to tell you that he really loved that guy, he got to the grave. Bible says he wept. He really loved him. But he was so peaceful. It is easy to flow in the power of God. You know, when you want to pray for the sick and there's anxiety, who knows? It doesn't get over. Most times, you're not going to see results. You know, that's why they recommend that doctors should not treat their relatives. Because sometimes they will have so much anxiety and then they will make mistakes. Let me get the point. Because it messes everything up. But imagine a peaceful heart. He comes out every day, he did not make any sale. He's just going home smiling. I have seen the Lord's goodness, his mercies and compassion. I've seen the Lord's goodness. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh Lord, you have been so good. Yeah. You are so good to me.
Oh Lord, you are excellent. Woo! In my life every day. Oh Lord, you have been so good. Hey, oh, you are so good to me. Oh Lord, you are excellent in my life.
I'm trusting God for that peace of God in this meeting. For all of you. For all of you. Because things will happen. But there is peace that does not let people quit. Does not let them give up. Does not make them break down. Avoid anxiety. I told you something in the church one day, and I want to say it to you. You see, the things you're passing through, I know the end. The end is that you are going to come out of it. Listen carefully. You're going to come out of it. You're going to be fine. The only thing I cannot guarantee is how you will be before that your answer comes. Look at what I mean. Abraham had a need. He needed a child. Eventually, Isaac was to come. But before Isaac came, he already slept with Hagar. Most times, in the process of our waiting, we mess things up. In the process of our waiting, we compromise. In the process of our waiting, we've said terrible things and done terrible things. I have messed things up. So when the answer now comes, you don't have full joy. I know what I'm talking about. Maybe before that answer has come, we've quit ministry. We've left everything. Finally, the answer now comes. And the joy that I'm supposed to feel is no longer that complete. How you can see the point? So while in your waiting process, you must trust God for that revelation of His peace. So you can stay peaceful in that waiting process. Light needs to shine in the area of peace in your heart. So you can, so that even while you're waiting, you are just peaceful. Things are not working yet, but you are peaceful. Nothing is so fine yet, but I'm going to just to say, stay calm. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not selling off as I should, but I'm just going to stay calm. I know the end from the beginning. I will not mess this up before that end comes. Stay peaceful. Let that peace envelop you. If you walk with me very close to ministry, you will know this is one thing you will notice. No matter what is happening, sometimes I just sit like there is nothing. You come around, you may not know. You may not know. I get the point. You may not know. Even on that same day when things are going wrong, you just see me come. Those days in CF, one of those meetings we had, by a day before the program, the venue we had secured for long, we had lost it. They say you cannot use that place again. And my people in church, some of them that are part of CF too, they came in on a Saturday, say, Daddy, they get da, 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 da. I was just on my seat. I said, hey, don't worry, we'll find venue now. It doesn't mean I'm not taking any step, but I'm not disturbed. As a matter of fact, if I'm disturbed, it will change nothing. Think about it now. So sit, let me rush this. So the of peace. Thirdly, on the implication of what Christ has done, we need the revelation of His safety, protection. And I had to add this deliberately because if there's anything we need in Nigeria now, it's a revelation of the hand of God to preserve. Because everywhere is getting... I get to the point. But there is something you will know. You will know that the Lord will keep you safe. There are promises of God's safety. A lot. I wish I had time. You need the revelation of God's safety. There is something that you know. As you are traveling, you are so sure that nothing will happen to you. You are so sure. You are just so sure. You even sleep. They say there's about to be an accident. You are sleeping. That same thing Jesus was doing. He was so sure. I came to this earth to die and to die by the cross. So this is not the cross. So I will not die on this. It's a very simple thing. I didn't get the point. You see the man, Bible said the Jews will gather to kill him. He will walk away from them. Peacefully. Elijah he had a glimpse of it. On even though in the Old Testament. The servants came to him and said, these guys have surrounded the Syrians. He was just relaxing. The servant said, Elijah, you know what I'm saying? I said, they are here with guns, with bomb. He said, Lord, open his eyes to see. Guess what? When they opened the guy's eyes, he saw a chariot of fire around them. Do you know that Elisha was not seeing that chariot of fire? He didn't need to see that chariot of fire. He just had to know that the Lord is his protection. That he will hide him under his pavilion. Psalm 91 verse 14. Psalm 91 verse 14. Reposata. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. It's a know him that the Lord delivers me. He protects me. He keeps me safe. Psalm 33 verse 16. I have a lot of scriptures on this, but I don't know. Can I take 30 more minutes? Huh? Amen. He said, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. I wish we know this thing. There is no king in this world that is saved. Put up the kind of that verse. Look at it. Wow. Are you there? The best equipped army cannot save a king. See, let me tell you, safety is a revelation. Even in Nigeria, defense headquarters was attacked. Now, do you know, the day they attacked defense headquarters, I told my friends, the only place safe now in Nigeria is the secret place of the Most High. Do you know the defense headquarters? Now, have you ever gone to any military whatever? That is small compared to defense headquarters. That's the main domain. The whole Nigeria, it was attacked. That's where police, army, everybody, that's where all of them are. The best. It was attacked and people were killed. And nobody was caught. So, where do you think there is safety? The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. You know, the best person to teach you this thing now, is the man David. Do you know why? He fought battles. He didn't lose one war. One battle. David lost, he lost no battle. Not one battle. Do you know what that means? David, can read his story. In fact, he fought battles to a point that even people of his own household began to fight against him. Absalom, all of them, he lost no battle. He's now telling you his secret, that it was not his army. Who is following me this afternoon? He's telling the secret. Go to the next verse. A horse is a venting for safety. Let's do NLT. I have KJVS, let's do NFT. He said, don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all his strength, it cannot save you. It cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those that fear him. Those who rely on his unfailing love. Hallelujah. Verse 19. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. Verse 20, I'll stop there. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So who is our help? Who is our protection? Who is our safety? Who is our preservation? What is our encouragement, our confidence that we're going to fly and nothing will happen? That there is going to be a bomb blast and we're not going to get hurt? The Lord is my safety. And may that revelation happen to you. Psalm 18 verse 1. Psalm 18 verse 1. I will love the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom will I trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So safety from your enemies is not by dodging or by preparing. Call upon the Lord. I say this all the time. Whenever a church is under attack, learn this. A church or a pastor is under attack, any kind of attack, maybe there is sickness, or maybe there is even scandal, any kind of attack, take to prayer. Doing PR will not save this day. Coming on Facebook, of course, if you want to do that, it's fine. But to say, I stand with, it's fine. But it will not save the day. I get to the point. I will call upon the Lord. So shall I be saved. There are enemies to the ministry. Some of them are even within the ministry. But how you are going to be saved from your enemies is by calling upon the Lord. There are some of you that are in places where you do business and there are attacks and there are conspiracies around those areas. And you are even scared whether you will do well. So there are fights here and there. Call upon the Lord, He will keep you safe. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. You know, I love Psalm. I wanted to put this last Psalm 27, verse 1, but maybe let's just read it and two more. Then I talk about the last point and we'll close. He said, the Lord is my light. You know, we saw this already, right? And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. When you know the Lord, that's why I tell you, see, a man that has a calling and then the man has revelation, stop fighting the man. You will stumble and fall. Yeah, now we're able to the truth. The man has a calling, has revelation of God's safety. He will not fight you. He will just stand. You will fight yourself. God wants some kind of victories for Israel where He will just tell them to stay and the enemies will be killing themselves. You watch yourself. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It's revelation that brings you to this point. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life. This is what we have now. And to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse 5, I love this place. For in the time of trouble, I had the revelation of this verse recently. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. He will hide me in His pavilion. I see it literally. When there is trouble, and God will pick me and put me in His pockets, and we walk through that place. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. When there is trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. Put up another translation of this. He will hide me in His pavilion. In His pavilion. In His pavilion. And else He said, for He will conceal me when... He will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in His sanctuary. His sanctuary is His presence. He will hide me there. Amplify said, for in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent will He hide me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to verse 4 of this message. Start from verse 4 in message. He said, I am asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with Him in His house my whole life long. I will contemplate His beauty. I will study at His feet. Verse 5, that's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. Put your life there. Learn His safety. Learn His protection. Learn His protection. You see a mother. She has a 6 months old baby. The house is about to get burnt up. She doesn't want to jump through the window. She's rushing towards her child. to give the child safe first. That is how the Lord rushes towards you to keep you safe. It's the same thing. So I want you to know it. Go back to King James. I'll stop at verse 6. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea! I will sing praises unto the Lord. Two more scriptures on this. Jeremiah 15, verse 20. Jeremiah 15, verse 20. As I'm talking, something is happening to you. And I will make thee unto these people. God is talking to me right here. I will make you unto these people a fenced brazen wall. Put up an NLT. I want to see that first line in NLT. Look at it. They will fight against like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. Go back to King James. He said, I will make you a prison fence, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now see the next verse. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. The Lord is my deliverance. He is my safety. He is my protection. One last scripture on this safety thing, then I will talk about one last and I will close. Psalm 68 verse 19. Oh, Rabatato Shadia. Blessed be the Lord, who delivered us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. For, look at this, look at verse 20. Glory to God. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God belong the issues from death. Beautiful. Go to verse 19, put up NLT. Issues from death. Hayaya Radosh. Praise the Lord, praise God our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. I want you to see this literally. I was flying one day, you know, and then my eyes opened and I saw the mighty hand of God under the airplane. That's how I travel. Literally carrying it and landing it in its destination. See verse 20. Carries us in his arms. Verse 20. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. In this season, you will enjoy rescues from death. I said rescues from death. You will. That's my God. So it's another revelation that needs to happen to you. It's beyond me praying for you and you hearing it. I'm telling you what to do about everything I'm saying. I have to go back because you have to get this thing. It's beyond hearing it. You must have heard all these things before, but it's a revelation. Lastly, on this revelation thing, if I give final counsels this morning, you need a revelation of wealth, prosperity. I put it last because I want to pray for you. I told you that wealth is a revelation. What makes people rich is actually not about wanting to be rich. You know, everybody wants to be rich. Who wants to be poor? Nobody. Yes, only few are. There is something you will know that God will show you about wealth, and it will dawn on you that you cannot be broke again. That revelation becomes a propelling force and becomes what will help you. Now, if you don't get what I'm saying, you will hustle. The best your hustle can give you is to make you a very, maybe comfortable person. Have one car or two cars, just comfortable. No, there's a proverb in Igbo that they say, Abaka Mumbo, Begonri. Have you heard that before? Abaka Mumbo, what it means is, say you hustle pass, not chop money. I get the point.
So I'm going to ask the Lord this morning, even as I pray for you, to give you a revelation of his provision, a revelation of his wealth. Proverbs 10:22. Levels are changing from this morning. I say levels are changing from this morning. He says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I like to check from here. Did you understand? He did not say that riches is the blessing of the Lord. He said the blessing will make you rich. So when you know the blessing, when there's a revelation of the blessing, it will make you rich. So all of us have the blessing. That blessing we have has capacity to make us rich. But yes, some will not be. Because the riches is not the blessing. But the blessing in Christ can make you rich. And the kind of wealth he gives, no sorrow. You can do Yahoo and get money. It will add sorrow. It will add sleepless nights. It will add sorrow. You can decide to sell your body and mess up and get money. It will add sorrow. It will. You can decide to steal people's money. It will add sorrow. But the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow. You sleep with your two eyes closed. God does not give the kind of wealth that will take away your health, or the kind of wealth that will take away your peace, or the kind of wealth that will throw you in anxiety. Some people, they hustle to the point. I was telling you yesterday about sweatless prosperity. That kind of prosperity that comes by the kind of work God told Adam to do. Just stand and keep the garden, you'll be fine. But then after the fall, he now said, well, the thing has changed. You may now have to sweat. So people work so hard. By the time they become millionaires, they've lost everything. Their hearts have gone in the process. Their kidney, they've lost in the process. Not because they gave it out for anything, but stress, anxiety, depression has damaged them. They're now sick. Have you seen that kind of thing? They've worked themselves out. Their eyes are now bad. Are you seeing glasses? Everything is damaged in their body. They now have the money. That is not the blessing of the Lord. So when revelation comes, you walk into wealth. Psalm 84 verse 11. Let's just rush. Psalm 84 verse 11. Read with me, everybody, from the screen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's read together, everybody. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It's a revelation that he doesn't withhold any good thing. So if money is good, I will have it. And plenty of it. Plenty of it. Plenty of it. I will have it. You know, bring it down a little. You see people fighting men of God. Instead of fighting people, find out what they know. How there are many churches in America, but a particular sect have distinguished themselves in terms of finances. Kenneth Copeland. That sect, Creflo Dollar. They've distinguished themselves. They are, you name the 10 richest pastors in the world. They are there. One sect, one group of, there is something they know. How do we get the point? It's not about fighting. Come to Nigeria too. A sect too. All of them are related. All these top guys, you know, they are related spiritually. All of them. It's not about fighting. Complain. Church is calm. And I'm trusting God for when people will look at my life and look at how much money I have and say, whoa, church is calm. And just look and say, he owns this thing. Pastors. Let me tell you better want to be rich and very rich. Because there is nothing you add that people will not talk. If you are so broke, they will say, hey, if this is the kind of God you are serving, I don't want to serve him. If you become so rich, they say he's stealing church money.
It's an interesting to know that since the history of this church, I've never counted offering in my life. I've never touched offering money with my hand. I get the point. Are you getting the point? Somebody came here recently and was seeing some things we got in preparing for this program. He's a pastor and was asking me, how much is this one? I said, I don't know. How much is this one? He said, I don't know. I have to check the records and all that. He said, how come you guys are doing this? You don't know. I know the one that used to give them the money. I smiled. I said, well, I have structure. Money does not pass through me. I'm in control of the money verbally and with my signature. That's the only way I'm in control of the money. And it's not only me that will sign, but three people will sign. So where are we going to steal it from? Any day you hear that pastor, any has stolen money, let me tell you what has happened. All these pastors stole it with me. I'm telling you because we have a structure. If it's in Enugu church, all the ministers, they stole it with me. Because that is a structure. So once you hear I've stolen money, pursue them, they have the money, they have some part. Because I cannot steal it alone. I cannot even take money from the account myself. I don't get the point. But anyway, I don't have to explain anything to you. I'm only saying that God will make me so rich that you will see me and say, hey, pastors are selling church money. I'm praying that some people saying those things, God will allow them, opportune them, even if it is two or three times, to count offering. The day you count offering, you will know that pastors are not stealing church money. How much is the offering? You know, somebody brought me here one day, and I was telling him, he didn't even know I was the pastor. I was telling him, you know, this hall, how much we paid for it, that it was very expensive. He said, normally they charge churches more for halls. I said, why? He said, now, wow, church, now cash out now. Money day church. I smiled. I said, I'll be. It's true. And I told him that church is cash out. He said, hey, now. I said, why not become a pastor? This is smart business. If you've seen a viable business, a smart move, make it. And I said, no, I don't have to. I said, you don't want to blow. Start church. I told him, I'll give you 6 months. I didn't say if your church grow. If you are still doing it after 6 months, I'll join your church. If you are still there. So don't bother about what people are going to say. If you become the poorest man, they will talk about you. But you'll be the wealthiest of them all. No matter your profession, trust God for this. There are broke lawyers. There are wealthy lawyers. There are broke doctors. There are wealthy doctors. It's not about the profession. It's about the blessing of the Lord. Are you following me? It's not about profession. Some of you that I want to choose, some of you that are still in one or two persons that are still in secondary school, you want to choose a course you're going to study, and you want to choose it by looking at people who have money. Forget it too. He said, I saw one doctor in our house. He's driving Range Rover. If I talk to you about doctors. But we have rich doctors here. I believe. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth than his meat and he tendeth poverty. You see, he said there is one person. He gathers all the money he has. He's throwing it around, giving to everybody. Yet he's getting richer. There is one person that is saying, I will not spend. If I spend this one, how will I eat? I'm going to keep it back. The man is getting poorer. It is this revelation about wealth that makes giving an easy thing to do. Because the reason people don't give is because they don't have a revelation of God's wealth. So how can I give out this one I have? When will I get the next one? I get what I'm talking about. If you have a revelation that the Lord is your supply, there is nothing you cannot give. I've shut down my account again. There are some of you that are here. You know, when that thing happens to you, so if the level you are still giving 10K, 50K, 100K, don't worry. You need to begin to trust the Lord that next year you are giving your first million. I didn't say you are getting, I said you are giving your first million. Next year, you are giving your first 10 million. That's where you need to start getting to. Because it's because you don't know how much God can provide. That's why any small one you have, you put it in your pocket. And one man is out there scattering all over the place. And he's buying car. Scattering, buying lands. And you that is doing richest man in Babylon. I'm not against the book, I'm just saying. Let me even add this. There is God's blessing in giving. You know, one thing giving does is that it strips money of its hold on you. That attachment you have with money, if you start giving, money will lose its hold on you. By the time you buy your best phone or best car or best anything, and the Lord says, give it to this my servant there. The day you begin to release such things, material things will mean nothing to you. I get the point. They will mean nothing. These days you lose your pen, you go into anxiety. You lost your pen. Your pen. That's the level you get to. You lose things, it doesn't, you are not bothered. You know why? Because the hold of money on you has been broken. Put up like an out of this. There is that scatter it too. Hallelujah. NLT says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Say amen. Ha ha ha. Giving itself is a revelation. I am telling you, there is something that will happen to you. As money is coming to your hands, you are thinking of who to help. Watch out for those people. They never go down. You are waiting for them to cry. They get richer. Because God will keep putting money in their hands to keep helping more people. Think about this. Let me even announce this ahead of time. I'll say this tomorrow. Next year in Platform of Grace is our we enter our year, our season rather, of lands and houses. From next year. Do you know what I said? What I mean is, we'll buy our first land next year. And as it is happening for us, it's happening for every individual in this place. Every individual. I don't announce this, God does not tell me. Next year we'll enter the season of lands and houses. So when we say I'm getting my lands, I'm getting my properties, it's deliberate. Because next year that season begins. That season begins. We are going to dedicate houses next year. I'm going to dedicate lands next year. I'm going to dedicate cars next year. The season for properties have come. But see, if I go down on my knees and I watch how giving makes you rich. I say, Father, I need 70 million for land. So Lord, please, I want this money to be provided. I want my people to give this money. Now God will begin to give my people the money to give. Who do you think God will give? The man that we withhold or the man that he knows will release it? I get to the point. Go back to King James. See the next verse. The next verse said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul. So that guy that is liberal, that guy giving himself the revelation. What's the revelation? It happens to you. Just know that, you know, let me tell you how I became better with giving. It dawned on me that God is my source. God said to me one day, if you believe I am your source, then there is nothing you should not hold, you should hold back. Because I'm your source. So, and I began to ask myself, do you really believe that God is your source? I asked myself, because if you believe that he's your source, that's the same thing he was teaching in 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly. So, all this, so what is he teaching in this verse? Don't trust in money. Trust in God. Now see the next verse.
How should you trust in God? By doing good, being rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So how you distribute and release money is a proof that you trust God and not the money. As I told you, when I had that challenge sometime, you know, last month, and all the money I had gathered for the project, all the money, I saw it, and the things were coming up. Some of them were people's needs. Some of them were personal needs. Things were just coming up. When the money finished, I told myself, okay, it's now time to trust, to check whether I was actually trusting God when I was confessing, or whether I was trusting my savings. Who's what I'm talking about? I want you to know, we are not a church of poor people. Forget what they are seeing now. Look out for everybody here. Check back in a couple of years from now. That's why I keep the contacts you are making from here. Because there are people sitting around you who have great destinies. I don't know where you are now financially. But you know what I'm hearing in my spirit? You will not be at the bottom. I'm hearing you will get to the top of your career. That's what I'm hearing. In that career, you will not be the least. You will not be the one under. You won't be the one under. May God open your eyes to see and understand that He's a giver. He makes people wealthy. I will show you in the Bible shortly how that he picks people from the dunghill and he lifts them. I'll show you in the Bible shortly. From nothing, Mephibosheth, crippled, useless. One day, David could no longer rest. And he said, is there anybody still alive in the household of Mephibosheth? The man was crippled. He was impotent. He was useless. And God wanted to restore him. Guess what? David called him, put him on his table. All the lands and properties that Saul, Jonathan, and everybody from Saul's lineage ever had was given to that one man, a cripple, in one day. In one day. I tell you guys, I'm not saying it to entertain you. It takes one contract to settle a man. One contract. No matter what you are selling, even salt. Even salt. It takes one contract. I am big on finances. I believe with all my heart that God will prosper me and prosper people around me. I believe it with all my heart. So I talk about it all the time everywhere I go to. The Lord is my prosperity. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. We quote that almost every day in church. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. Take note of all these scriptures. When I teach on finance again, I'll read them to you again. Woo! But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So there is such a thing as power to get wealth. You understand what I'm saying? Wealth is not always by a hustle. There is power to get wealth. How long have you ever experienced a season in your life where you struggled to do something or in one business and suddenly in 1 month it's like everything just boom, opened up? Have you ever seen that kind of thing? Let me clear you. Now God the runner. I am telling you. Now, at last, now God the runner. All the race is not always for the swift. The battle is not always for the strong. We work hard. We don't talk down hard work. But you know what he was teaching them here? This was not actually a prayer. This was a warning. You get the point? The warning he was telling them from verse 11 that they should be careful not to forget the Lord their God. He got to verse 16. He told them, the Lord fed you in the wilderness with manna and all that. Verse 17, he said, and be careful not to come to a point where you will say in your heart, my power and the might of mine had gotten me this wealth. He was warning them to never come to a point where you say things like, I'm rich like this because I hustled. I did well because I read. Even Gurauko at school, he was warning them. That's why the man that does not pray and does not know God is a proud man. He thinks that everything he has, I get what I'm talking about, is by his own making. He's a proud person. So, don't say, my power and the might of mine has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, I told them, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth the power to get wealth. Don't forget that. Job does not give wealth. The Lord gives wealth. 1 Samuel 2 verse 8. I have like four more. 1 Samuel 2 verse 8. Are you getting blessed? He raised up the poor out of the dust. I thought I would show you. That's where it is. That's where that people say, that's where they cut it from. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So even if where you are now in your life is where you call the lowest place, he will raise you from there. So I want that revelation. I'm not praying. Yesterday we got miracle supplies. What I'm talking about is beyond miracle supplies. What I'm talking about is something that will happen to you. Scales that will fall off your eye. And you just know, like you know your name, that see, guy, poverty has gone. Kenneth Copeland said he struggled in ministry. Everybody, I heard Pastor David Obuyeli one day. He was talking to us in a meeting. And he told me, I will quote him word for word. He said, before I got all this revelation, he said, ministry barbed my hair in this Enugu. That's what he said. When I met him, I come out of my lab. He said, ministry barbed my hair in this Enugu until I cut the stem. So there is such a thing as you labor like an elephant or like a horse, and then you feed like an ant. There is no reward for your labor. That's that kind of prosperity that God told Adam that he will now start having. The prosperity that he will get by the sweat of his face. That's not God's will. So there is prosperity that you labor for. Because every prosperity must work for it. Because he even gave him a work, say, tend and keep the garden. But it's no longer that kind of labor now. I get to the point. It's now a labor from the place of rest. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Somebody just said to me, you're just showing us Old Testament. Let me tell you something. I know Bible more than you. So when I'm teaching, don't argue, just listen. Do you understand? Moreover, I don't teach what I don't know. And if you're angry that I said I know Bible more than you, stop coming to this church. Because I know Bible more than you, that's why you're here. If you know more than me, you will not be here. Say amen. Thank you. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Put up like NLT. I want us to read this NLT and announce it. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's where we got our declaration for. That I always have what to give. I always have what to spend. I always have much more left over. He will provide all I need. I will always have everything I need. And I will have plenty to share with others. So God wants you to have your needs met. And even meet other people's needs. And still have some reserve in the account. That thing is wealth. It's not salary. Are you getting me? It's not salary. Oh, yeah, baradash. Zezo
so go. Le breke. Rebe Edodo baraba sobara da ba da da ba da ba da ba shere. Edra ba da da ba 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 shana ya. Eyo brodo sobara da ba do ga ba da ba sh. Ezo bora bora ba da 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 ba do ya. Now listen, I'll show you one more place where we got one of these declarations we are making in church. That declaration we make during offering, everything is from the Bible. I just rephrased it. Let me show you Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. I already showed you where he said he gave you the power to make wealth, and then where he said you always have what to give, what to spend. Now look at this. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. That's a good place to say amen. The heaven to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I want you to come to a point of revelation. A revelation that will stop you from ever borrowing in your life. Some of you, listen to me here. Some of you are so attracted to borrowing that when there is a problem, the first thing that comes to your mind is, who do I collect from? Be liberated from that. It's a foul spirit. It's demonic. It is Satan setting you back. I'm not saying that once in a while things cannot happen. But if your first response is, who do I borrow from? You always have need to borrow. Sorry to say, my dad, my mom, dad was a civil servant. My mom is still a civil servant. But I can tell you, this is the undoing of civil servants. Overdraft, loan, before salary comes. And see, you better begin to learn from now. Live that lifestyle. And I said, I heard from my pastor, I want to say to you, most times when you go for borrowing instead of trusting God, you miss a divine supply. And if you're already in debt, I've already prayed yesterday, your debt will be cleared. You will not end this year with debt. But then, let revelation come upon you that will let you know that Lord is your supply, not all those people that are giving you things. You say, how do I do it, sir? Start eating this verse. Start eating it. I lend to many nations. I don't borrow. Eat it. Eat it and spit it. You know, you've heard me say that before. Eat it, spit it. What I mean is, take it in, speak it forth. Consistently. Eat it and spit it. I lend to nations. I don't borrow from any. One day I read this verse and the Lord said to me, you know, I used to gist with God. He said, do you think I was exaggerating, right? I said, yes. You know, nations mean human beings. He said, no. I mean nations. He said to me, it means that somebody can come to a level of wealth that he can assist a nation financially. And we've seen it in our generation. During COVID period, churches were giving money to Nigeria, which Nigeria squandered. Painfully. The last of Dr. Paul and Enche, the medical equipments and stuff they brought into Nigeria at that point was running into tens of millions. They just gave not borrow, dash. I get to the point. Bishop had lent money to a nation. A country needed money, they came and met them, they borrowed the land and they. And it's you don't just get there, it's a revelation. Bishop, let me talk about Bishop a little. Bishop was one of the first guys that tapped into the knowledge of Archbishop Personally Dahosa. He followed the man and he was a radical giver. Recently, they were sharing some stories about Archbishop, and some of his people were saying that those days, Archbishop will have a conference and Bishop will call from Lagos and as not a member of the church and sponsor the whole conference to the last. Not his church. I didn't get the point. Others come to the secret. He comes sometimes. There are meetings coming up. He sponsors everything. And do you know, there was a particular meeting that they were saying that even till now that Archbishop has died, he's still doing it. Because of the legacy of the man. Are you following me, church? You know, if there is he that withholdeth, the man goes more stingy. One is scattering and throwing his man up and down. The only difference between this person throwing his man up and down and the other one that you call extravagant is that the other one is throwing his money out to useless things. The other one, because of knowledge, is releasing his money to useful ventures. He's giving it to church. He's sponsoring crusades. He's giving ministers. He's this nonsense. How can I finish working hard and go and give you better be wise? So you see, look at Bishop today. I heard a story, I don't know how true this is, but a story of how one of those things he took money to Archbishop. Archbishop said, spread the money on the floor. Big money. And he spread it on the floor. He said, match on it. He said, this same way. Are you following me? Things don't just happen. May God bring you to that point where it opens up to you that God can give you wealth. He can give you wealth. I feel I didn't start teaching this and I'm telling you early enough in my ministry. It's good and bad in a way. Because it's good because I wasn't talking about ministry, passion and all that. But I think it is important we talk about it now. Because I noticed, sir, that because these teachings lacked when we were starting, the fact that God is able to make us wealthy, to trust God and release faith. When the issues of life came to people, many of them left the ministry. And began to rush after money. You know what I'm talking about? Many of them are out of ministry. Because we didn't have enough light to see that what we are running towards in the world, God can give us just like that. We have enough light to see. But thank God for light. Now I know that I can serve God with 100% and still be rich. Let me show you one last scripture on this world's matter. Then I will challenge you. Psalm 35 verse 27. I rejoice to this scripture this week. And that's why I put it last. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Do you favor his righteous cause? He says you shout for joy. Ah ha ha. Now watch this. Why should you shout for joy? Let them say continually, let love be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So if I'm prospering, God is happy. So sometimes we think that when a believer becomes so rich, God is eyeing him. Say that one, let him. It's easy for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that man is the way he's becoming rich. He will leave me. You think that's what God is doing? The day you prosper, God is taking pleasure in it. And you ask why? Because your prosperity is the prosperity of his kingdom. Of his kingdom. Of his kingdom. I was telling you that, you see, the publicity of this meeting alone, I mean publicity, program just publicize, is into hundreds of thousands. If we want to do a citywide campaign, which we will do very soon, we must put at least 5 million naira for publicity alone. That is small citywide campaign.
Emphasis on small. But where we are going is that one person will sponsor. That's where we are going. That's where we are going. That's where we are going. That one person will sponsor. That one person will sponsor. As it is in your heart. As it is in your heart. As it is in your heart. Oh, shadadadadosh. That's where we are going. The Lord is celebrating when Pastor Henry gets money. So you see why he said he should shout for joy. He should shout for joy. He said 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 he should shout for joy. You should shout for joy. Woo! You know, let me share this story. So one of us here recently, you know, got a car. And then he was telling me, sir, I don't know how to bring it to church. You know, I'm just feeling somehow. And I told him, I said, if someone had died for you, you would have still come to tell us. Is it not true? And we will all gather around you and sympathize with you. Now that something good happened to you. That's why I'm not afraid to say that I am a pastor that dedicates cars, I dedicate houses, because if it was something bad that happened, we will get an officiate burial. So if I can officiate burial, I can dedicate house. I can dedicate businesses. Are you getting the point? I can and I will. So do you believe God? Because, but I want this, now after this, now see why I'm doing all this, I'm going to close and I'm just keep standing. I want you to go home and look into the things I've shared with you now. Because you heard them, they excite your heart, but there is more. That more is revelation. Know the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, I want to release you to your Bible. I want to release you to your Bible. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 15:16. I'll close with this. Let me close my note for now. The words, thy words you have found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name. So go and eat the word. That's how these things will move from your head to your heart. You are praying. You are eating the word. Now, let me teach you what you can do. Pick many things I've mentioned there. Pick them turn by turn. Give like the next 3 months. Stay on health. Eat it daily. Spit it daily. Who's God I'm talking about? Finish it. Declare until the thing envelopes you. You can even give 6 months. Move to wealth. Kenneth Copeland said he was so broke that I used to joke, you know, the wife used to tell the story. How that he was so slim. You know, sometimes being slim is not slim fit. So he was so slim that they kept sewing his trouser. He had only one trouser. He said they kept sewing it and shaping it. You know, shaping. They kept shaping the trouser to the point that the two belt holders at the back joined together. That is the Brother Copeland everybody is envying now and calling him prosperity preacher, calling him
I'm a prosperity preacher. I don't believe in prosperity gospel because there's nothing like that. There is one gospel. But one of the implications of that gospel is wealth and prosperity. So I preach prosperity. You can leave the church now. Until one day, there are many things about Kinescope plan. He said they were so much in depth. Because at the time, God told me, study Kinescope plan on finances. And I got many of their tests and their books. He said they were so much in depth that he said they were owing everybody they know. You don't know what that means. Everybody, their father, their mother, father-in-law, mother-in-law, friends, every human being they know. They were owing them. He said, the way he put it, he said, we are supernaturally in debt. He said, it only takes the supernatural to be in that kind of debt. He said that one day, he was studying the Bible and came across some things. That's why if you are married here, as God is opening your eyes, carry your wife along. Go. Let her not drag you back. He called the wife and said, babe, we are not going to borrow again forever. Like, not like mammon again. He just saw something in the Bible. And they made the decision that never again will they ever borrow. It is light. Who is following me? They made that decision. He said they stayed, of course, God's brother. It was Brother Copeland that I heard, was it him, that drove his Beetle. The only car he had, them Beetle, drove it to Brother Hagin's office and told them, check for the cost of this Beetle. Take it and give me books. So they asked that Brother Hagin had it and said, who is that man? And said, go with your car. Give him every book. And he went home. He was eating. Eating and spitting. Yeah, you got it. For long. He told the wife, see, babe, we are not borrowing again. And that became the beginning of one of the wealthiest ministries. All these crusades you see that Bonnke doing in Africa, 80% is Brother Copeland's ministry. All these crusades. Brother Bonnke comes to your town, he doesn't collect money. Is that man? I didn't get the point. He sends missionaries. He sends people. When there was an issue in what country was that? I had that issue recently. Huh? Was it Ukraine? No, it wasn't Ukraine. That's Ukraine had their issue. But was it Afghanistan that the Taliban and all that? The guy he sent planes, private jets, helicopter, his own, to go and bring people from that place free. I like money. Forget this thing. Now, that is the man you want to fight. It takes revelation. He said, we kept reading, we kept declaring. We said, you know, recently the ministry, because it's not, people, some of you think that when you get to that point of wealth, you will never have any need again. There are still needs. They had a need one certain time recently. Then, you know, the son is now taking care of the ministry. That's still there. The son is now the administrator running things and all that. But they had a very terrible challenge, you know, where they needed money to pay off some big money. And the son came to him and said, well, mom, dad, we've analyzed the whole situation. We think that what we should do is that we should sell one or two properties that the ministry has to raise money to do this thing. He said him and the wife looked at themselves. Coincidentally, they started laughing. They burst out and began to laugh at him. I was like, I'm serious here. They laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, you think this is how we do it here? He said, that's not how we do it. He said, we don't sell things here. Just go and relax. Trust God, the money will come. That's why I told you, it is not money in your heart that makes you rich. It is light in your heart. You can have so much money, but you're actually going, either you are poor now or you're eventually going to be poor. Because money misread.
He entered the hand of a man that does not have light. Do you get what I'm talking about? That's why I tell you, and I'm closing this way. You can be so sick, but you're on the path of health. You can be so healthy, and you're on the path to sickness. You can be so broke, but by the way you're living your life, and by the light that you have, you're on the path to wealth. You can also be so rich, but I can predict that the next 2 years you'll be poor. It's not a curse, it's prediction, and I'll be right. Just like I gave you an example in medicine. If a medical doctor, you're an nutritionist, you can look at someone, he's living, he's very healthy, but you look at his feeding habits, look at everything, and you can predict that. Again, maybe the guy takes so much alcohol, so much cigarette, you can just predict that, highest 5-10 years, his liver will be bad. Because even though he's healthy now, the way he's living his life is showing that he will be down. I get what I'm saying? So you can be broke now, but I can see your next 5 years, because you are sitting on light, feeding on light, drowning yourself. You're swimming in the world, swimming in revelation. Your eye is busting open. We will not be small. We will not be small. We will not be small. Say with me, say, it is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. Say, I have revelation. I have light. Everything God has given to me, I have revelation into them. Without revelation, you will go and remain broke all your life. Remain sick all your life. Remain in debt all your life. From one satanic attack to another. Now, I'm both imparting you, and I'm also giving you an assignment to go home and give yourself to the world. Are you getting me? Throw yourself, eat it. I'm telling you, eat it. The first time I practiced, I've shared with you, was about healing. I wanted to know how to heal the sick. I wrote out everywhere healing appeared in the Bible, and I was on it for more than 1 month of my life. So I got an anointing both by impartation and by revelation. So it's not time to just throw your Bible. Let me say one last thing. In 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, it will show whether what I'm teaching you is right or wrong. And it will show whether you followed everything I'm sharing now. Be on the path of light. You will know this truth. It will make you free. You will know it. Go for the word. Know the word. Know the truth. It will make you free. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.